It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. John McClain going to join us at the bottom of the hour. What's up, JoJo?
Hey, what's happening, man? I hear at 10 o'clock we have some special guests in studio.
Yes, from the PBR. Got some bull riders that are going to be coming in here.
Wait, you said PBR, and you didn't say bull rider. You just said so I thought you were actually going to bring in
a bull?
People from PBR, like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, I know.
Another day, another promises and lies, so I'll just have to figure out a way through this.
Not really lies, Joe.
That's true.
That's what we got here. Yes. How about this? This is a name of a bull rider. Chase Outlaw.
That cannot be his name. That's
reading
awesome.
It right here. And Silvano Alves.
Now, I like that. Silvano's a good name.
Yeah.
What's your name? Silvano. Yeah. Chase Outlaw.
Yeah.
That's nice. That should be.
I need an outlaw.
Did you ever change your name? I would never change my name because I have enough time figuring my own name out. But I was for radio, TV, changing your name. What would it be? Chase what?
I'm good with Chase McCabe.
Some sort of alliteration like Chase Champion.
Yeah,
along those lines. Yeah, that works out.
Better than that rapper's name for me, actually. What was it, like Rock Solid or Rock Hard or something?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that, man? That's awesome.
Chase Outlaw sounds better.
Just because you didn't get his birthday doesn't mean you have to demean the guy, okay? Do better.
Thanks.
Thank you. No, you're welcome.
Stop screwing up.
Right.
That's basically what
Joe's
saying.
That's all you got to do, man.
So we'll have that coming up at 10 o'clock. Looking forward to that as have entered the, I got to say, even though we're not in the dog days yet, but I mean, things are winding down. Pretty good game in the NBA last night with Minnesota and Dallas. Minnesota stays alive. And so that series now 3-1. And then what I think is probably the best series, I mean, Dallas and Edmonton's pretty good, but the Rangers and Panthers has been phenomenal. I mean, once again, going to overtime. This time Florida wins it in OT. That, as someone that when the Predators lose, I kind of pull away and I don't pay as much attention.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Okay.
They both these series have me back.
My takeaway from this is, good God, when the Predators were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it didn't seem that long. Now, I mean, we're entering June. I know it's June every year. It's just – and then there's – still three more games. Well, now it's the best 2 out of 3 in that series because it's 2-2.
And then you get the cup final.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's another 2 to 3 weeks of all this. It just goes forever. I recommend, and people could weigh on the text line. I'd like to hear your opinion on this, that all these series go 3 out of 5. They never will because they get money. I understand that. But 3 out of 5 would be fantastic. Like this, Dallas-Minnesota NBA, it's 3-1 down. I mean, Dallas will go home or whatever, we'll beat them next game. You're just extending that out.
Well, here's the other part, too, with the NBA that I don't understand and I can't stand. So the East series is done. The Pacers got swept by Boston.
Yep.
So they're just sitting there waiting on this one. So, and this could be wrong, but my understanding is, had Dallas won last night and both would have been a sweep, we still would have to wait like a week for the NBA finals to start.
For the TV thing to kick in and all that. Yeah, I agree. It's just way too
just
long.
Just start it.
And they're not going to, because we'll get the ones like, well, hey, the comeback when you're down 3-1. I understand that.
Yeah, look, Minnesota's going to make this a series. Like, I think Minnesota's probably going to win game 5, and they'll at least be a game 6. Was that Siri?
Oh, it was Siri.
It was Siri.
She's
Siri.
Telling you that. No, thanks, man. She agrees. We're all looking around like, who's in the studio?
What the hell?
Did somebody wander in here? What the hell's going on in here?
But yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to be this expert on the NBA by any means, but I know Minnesota's a good team, and Dallas is obviously a good team, but I feel
Dallas is a better team. We're up 3-1 right now.
Well, they got my guy Luka. Love Luka.
He lived on the second floor. Did you know that?
No.
He did. Lived on the second floor.
Is that something I'm
what
supposed
are you referring to,
get?
To, Joe?
Oh, you guys are so young. I'll tell you. For those out there in radio land listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's way over my head.
I'll let this marinate for a little bit. But Luka,
is this something safe to Google?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Joe, so, you know I'm 5 foot, you know, nothing, so it's going to go over my head regardless.
Just Google Luca and then play the song. Luca lived on the second floor, and play the song when it comes up. Ready? That's what you get. That's why this show works, because you know, you got the old man and me. You got my body double and David James in there, and then you got the young guys.
This is a song?
Yeah. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. He lives upstairs from me.
Okay.
Did it pop up, Dr. Crane? You'll see it.
I mean, I see it now. I've just never heard of this.
You've never heard of this song?
No.
Well, you shouldn't.
Is this by Suzanne Vega?
That's it. Will you play, though? It's just the very opening part of the song. That's a joke we've always used. I'm glad you guys are. Listen. It's a great song.
Very uplifting.
It is. Here we go.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before.
Did that come out in 1989?
I believe so.
Yeah.
See, the artist was born in 1959.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
For Suzanne Vega's birthday comes up, you're disqualified because now you know.
It is next month.
Okay. All right. Her birthday is?
It sure is. Well, in 2 months. I keep thinking we're in June already.
We are. So there you go. So there's a few out there who got the joke and understand it. So now add that song to the part of your repertoire, if you don't mind.
I don't want Joe as a neighbor. I mean, if I lived on the second floor, I could just hear Joe on the third floor just stomping the whole time. I would not be a fan of that.
You know, I can see that too, and I can see you being that, like, with the broom, like, hey, knock it off up there.
Get off my lawn.
You're like Mr. Heckles from Friends. Like, I see it now. That's you.
Oh,
you would
man.
Be like that, just like any little noise, like, hey, knock that crap out.
I would have a giant hole in my ceiling, and I would see right into Joe's living room.
No, you don't see that.
Well, I don't. I don't. But like, you know, just banging, you know, that stick up on the.
See, you're the type of guy, though. That, I mean, you're a nice, good-natured young man. That if you try to get chips out of the vending machine and got stuck, you would tip that vending machine over and lose your mind. So I tell people, you don't really know somebody until you see them get their chips stuck in a vending machine. Then you know. The type of person they are.
It happens here, unfortunately.
That's actually a really good
Look at life
point.
That way. Yeah. Yeah. Then we know. For me, if it gets
stuck, you see the anger.
I'm fine. Yeah. But there are some. I used to work with somebody at Channel 2 who is now a very popular person in this town, female, who got chip stuck in a vending machine. And she
does she go by Babs?
She does go by Babs and lost her mind. And it's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It was fantastic. We finally got the chips out because we had to tilt the vending machine over. But
you remember what kind of chips they were?
I do not. The worst chips are Ruffles. Ruffles by themselves, but Ruffles, right? Because you use the ranch dip. But Ruffles chips are like chips. If I went to a chemistry class, I said, Joe, will you design chips for us? They're that awful. They're that awful. Ruffles are that awful.
What about Ruffles cheese and sour cream?
I don't hate Ruffles.
That's okay because they've added stuff to it. But Ruffles by itself.
Just a regular potato chip. Okay.
Very bland. It's just not good. So then you start adding. I mean, Sun Chips take the gold medal in my world.
Sun Chips. See, now I hate Sun Chips.
Well, they hate you.
I'm not a fan of the Sun Chips.
Why not?
I mean,
you got garden salsa, you got the cheddar.
I've never liked them.
Garden salsa is pretty good.
What's your go-to?
My go-to chip?
Yeah.
A Frito. I like Fritos.
What kind of Frito, though? They have the barbecue swirl?
The regular scoops.
Okay.
What do you scoop it into?
Any kind of dip I got.
Okay. Oh, interesting. I thought Fritos.
Is that our question? What's your favorite chip?
Could be. Because Ruffles is the worst. You think Sun Chips suck. What about you, Dr. Crane? What do you not like?
I mean, from time to time, it's hit or miss, but a regular Lay's potato chip, if it's there, it's there, and it's good. Or some days, if I'm just having a bad day and I just have one potato chip.
I hope you never have a bad day.
Comfort chip.
You know, yeah, it's the really thin one I'm talking about. The Lay's thin potato chip.
The ones
chip.
That
yeah.
kind of like were made like, hey, what's left over there? I make those chips.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not great. I
those
don't like
terrible.
Those.
I get, I
so
agree
they're the
you.
Hot dog of chips.
Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Yes, they are. No, some people do that. They'll crunch up the Lay's potato chip and put it on a hot dog. It's disgusting.
Well, I just thought Fritos only went with chili. So now my mind is now open to this new adventure now.
Yeah. Dylan in Antioch says, I consider myself pretty well versed in music, and I've never heard that song in my life.
Well, now you have, pal. Suzanne Vega. So every time I hear Luca playing, I always think about The Second Floor. Always.
I mean, look, the thing I love about you is
nothing.
No, is that I never know what the hell is going to come out of your mouth next.
And I'm drug free, which
yeah,
is even better.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like there's random things that yeah. just happen. And I just
well, don't. I mean, we're all latchkey kids from the 80s who grew up on MTV. I mean, we'd go home and MTV.
See,
from
you
college.
Are. I mean, well, and I mean, I grew up on MTV in the 90s, but like by the time I got to high school, they weren't showing videos anymore.
Okay, yeah, so early 2000s, yeah. right in there, yeah, okay.
Or like reality TV in some regard. On
yeah,
MTV.
And I quit watching.
You know what they call people like Big Joe? Hmm. High on life.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
But I went through a phase where they had MTV 2, yep. which all they did was show videos, which I don't even think that shows videos anymore. But all they did was show videos. So like in the morning when I was getting ready for school, I would turn that on and watch. Like they'd show like videos from then and you know
yeah which was great because I think now they got MTV Classics which shows videos of the
yeah
an 80s block and 90s block and all that but I mean in mid 80s we all MTV's what we
do
grew
they even
on.
Make music videos anymore or are they just for social media
I know
now
country music does I know I'll flip through and I'll see CMT and like hey number 8 this week is some dude about his truck
like,
trucking this girl
Chris Kirkpatrick was in here yesterday like he was telling us stories about the video shoots and like all the stuff they did in the music videos and it's like I they're just not a thing anymore. And they used to be such a big deal.
Well, I mean, you think about some of these, like I listen to the 80s countdown and MTV will do the 80s countdown. Like some of these acts, if they try to make it today, would never get it because they're like, they don't look good. I mean, they're great musicians,
right.
but they don't
right.
look good and they would have never made it. And so the videos kind of helped out and everything and got them going. And you understood what was going on. Like Toto by Africa by Toto. You try to play that today? I mean, nobody's going to listen to that.
You know what genre? Like, if it started today, like, if it was the dawn of this genre today, it would never, ever, ever, ever in a million years make it.
Yacht rock.
Glam metal.
True. Yeah, it's gone.
Like, it would be, it would probably be perceived in a completely different way.
It would be. I mean, yeah. you name the, obviously, Motley Crue and Poison. But then Cinderella.
Vince Neil, you want to wear that dress? You go ahead, man.
Like, yeah, you're right. I waited, and this is old school, real quick. We waited for hours for Motley Crue, and I think Dagwood might have been at this one, too, at Katz Records in Rivergate Mall for Motley Crue to show. This is 1983, and they had just the The Looks That Kill.
Yeah.
And we waited for hours, and they came and signed autographs, and they were in makeup, and it didn't faze us. I was like, holy hell, that's Motley Crue right there. And it was fantastic. That today would never. If my son came to me and told me what he's going to do, I'm like, you're not going over there.
Like, when I was doing something for the Grand Prix a few years ago, I was emceeing an event with now two-time Indy 500 champion, Joseph Newgarden.
Don't you claim him.
What do you mean claim him? I'm not claiming him.
Don't you start.
Other people do that. no, I mean, but I did a thing where I emceed, you know,
right.
for him. And at the our buddy Chris Parker was like, hey, you're going to sit at this front table, so you're right there. And I sit down at the table, and I'm like, holy bleep. I'm sitting next to Scott Borchetta,
okay.
for one.
Right.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And then Vince Neil. And it's like,
you talk to him?
Oh, yeah. Got a picture with him. He was nice as can be.
Was he like, all right?
No, he was just, we were talking about, and what was funny is we got into like music and I was like, yeah, I just saw you guys like a month ago at Nissan. He goes, what'd you think? I'm like, badass, man. It was awesome.
What'd you think? That's awesome.
Yeah. He's like, had you seen us
tiny
before?
Guy, right?
And I was like, I had seen you once before at Bridgestone, but. And he goes, when? And I was like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And he goes, oh, yeah, we were bleeped then.
Oh, oh my goodness! Was he? Was he? Is he? I've never seen him.
Yeah,
up close.
He's a smaller guy. Okay. You know, he's a big car nut too. So
nice.
But yeah, no, he could not have been any nicer.
It'd be great if his voice would have been like a sales guy voice, like, "Hey, Trace, how are you? Thanks for doing this today." That's cool. He still what lives in Leaper's Fork or something?
Yeah, and I think Nikki has a place here too. So.
Why not? Everybody
else
does.
Everybody, look, it's Music City.
It is
definitely Music City. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in on anything that we're talking about today. Also, John McClain coming up at the bottom of the hour. It is the Chase and Big Joe show here on 1025-1063 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. A little Motley Crue on this Wednesday.
Great song, man.
This is, I don't know if I'm going to say it's my favorite Crue song, but it's definitely up there.
It's not bad. I got the album, The Greatest Hits. There's so many good songs in that album.
On vinyl?
On vinyl. No, on my phone. Vinyl. I need to get some vinyl. That's good. The Chip people are weighing in. A friend of mine said, how do you not like Ruffles? They're the backbone of chips for Ruffles. I mean, they're like, I guess they're the foundation. They're awful. Ruffles is all, I mean, that chip by itself is awful.
He's right. They are the foundation of dirt.
Thank you.
They're not the foundation of chips.
Okay, listen, I'm not going to sit here and stand for this Ruffle slandering because, like,
it's not good.
While they taste just like Lay's. They've just got little squiggly things on them. They're
like,
ruffled.
Coming from a guy who hates
Sun Chips are trash.
Which is, I can't even look at them right now, Dr. Crane. I mean, I'm getting a little upset because Sun Chips are just.
I glanced.
They're just, I don't know, they hit right. You
they're
know, they're
bland.
Just good.
Well, here's the thing. Chase does make a little bit of a point here about the Ruffles and Lay's. Yeah, hear me out. Hear me out. Hang on, Joe.
Okay.
With the Ruffles, there's a little squigglies up and down, right? The little ridges. That gives a different flavor profile. Whereas for a Lay's, you just get the salt and just that base just flavor with the Lay's chip. The one I just dislike. So, like, if I had to pick one or the other, I'd go Ruffles over a regular Lay's. Does that make sense?
It does.
Well, see, I like regular Lay's over Ruffles, but my point is they basically taste the same.
Even the pack. I'm looking at the I'll tweet it out in a second. The Ruffles original potato chip pack looks just bland, like,
yeah,
it was designed
by
us.
And here's the other thing. Let's just, we're just going to put this out here right now. If we walk into the conference room right now and there's a bowl of Ruffles sitting there.
I'm not touching them.
Yeah, you will.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
That thing will be gone in 5 minutes. I've seen you.
What was the chip that came out that if you eat it, you went to the bathroom immediately? It had like a Lestra in it or something. You would go and it was like, hey, it's a great healthy chip. And it's like, yeah, you'll spend half the time in the bathroom.
To be fair, I don't know what a Lestra is. It sounds like a laxative.
Something like that, yeah. I think it was.
Really?
Yep.
I know that one chip challenge where people get that like triangular chip and it's super hot. That's the one I know that makes you go to the bathroom. But I just
What is this?
It's the one chip challenge. You know, people get the blue chip and the red chip, and it's like extremely hot. It has like Carolina Reaper in it or whatever.
Where do you get this?
See, and those people are just weird anyway. Like, I'm not.
Okay, we agree on something.
I don't like really, 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 really like spicy things, and so I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah, it's
like
fair.
It just, you know, we did a hot chicken eating contest one time and it was fun. I'm like, I'm never doing this again. I do not feel good right now.
Joe, you know how you maybe look up that song? Look up the one chip challenge.
Okay, I will. All right.
I think I remember that. Robbie Stanley weighs in on my text line and he says about Sun Chips that they are god awful.
Okay, that's coming from Robbie Stanley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well respected man out of Hendersonville.
Take Robbie off the 4th of July cookout list. He's
Ricky says I'm a donkey because he likes Sun Chips. That's fine. We've established I don't like Sun Chips. I don't like corn dogs.
I mean, I think Doritos are like the goat of chips. And I get Doritos are always a go-to and everything. But, I mean, we talk the ones that you just avoid. I avoid Ruffles. It's like eating this piece of paper. That's the same taste.
I'm going to say something else. Are you ready for this, Dr. Crane?
I don't know.
About Doritos?
Yeah.
Good, but overrated.
All right, now you're just trying to now you're just trying to get people upset.
Look, they're good. David, look, they Cool Ranch Doritos are great.
Right.
They're overrated.
How dare you?
Uh-oh. What'd you say there? David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, come
David.
On.
David's...
All right, Jared Stillman, come on, man.
David's triggered.
Just throwing stuff out there, man. People just react.
I don't know about the Doritos thing. I know they have that midnight cheeseburger flavor that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
regular Doritos. The regular Doritos.
That's the Cool Ranch. Would that be called their baseline? That or nacho cheese?
Well, I think nacho cheese is the basic one, right?
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's almost like king and queen.
Right.
Like they're together.
Like when you go to Nissan Stadium, they'd have like the hot dogs and the burgers, and the chips would be Ruffles. I mean, at least at the times that I went, I was like, I'm not eating this.
And that's why the fan base has a problem with them.
It's just the press box. Oh. You know, it's a bunch of fat, overrated, unhealthy guys up there eating.
Oh.
But, you know, all of us. But I'm not going to have – I just was like Passover on it. I'm not doing it.
The walking taco, by the way, at Bridgestone Arena, you get your preference of chip and you put the taco flavorings and seasonings and meats and all that on in the bag. It's unbelievable.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
1704 says, have Joe do the one chip challenge on the air.
No, let me look it up in just 1 second. I'll do that.
Joe, I will bring 2 gallons of 2% milk for you.
Listen, Chase and I did the Music City Bowl hot chicken contest.
We did it
right?
Twice, right?
Twice. And I was the first one that was kicked out. And I spent the next week in a creek, and I will never do those challenges again. I love you guys. If you like hot chicken, which is fine, I ain't doing it again. I'm not doing it again.
I think you'd survive this, Jim.
No, I don't know.
Can I tell this part of the story?
Please do.
So I think the most unfortunate yet funniest part was, so it was right there at the river, right at the beginning of Broadway on First
right.
Avenue, or Second, you know, somewhere in there. And we did it, and it was you, me, Dave Foster, Melanie Layden from Channel 4, and then Daphne DeLorean also from Channel 4.
Thank you.
And Mel ended up winning. Mel, of course, is now actually married to one of our sales guys, Matt. And so she won the thing. And so afterwards, we're backstage, and I just see you go into the bathroom, and then all I hear is screaming.
It's gone. See ya. I'm out. I'm done. Never
and
again.
You came out, and you're like, I forgot to wash my hands before. Did you forget before?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But I washed my hands after. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, but you should have done it before.
We actually went to the Hard Rock. Then we had to go to the bathroom over there, and that's what it was.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Just that's right.
Never again. But those who can consume all the hot chicken, I'm impressed. I mean, I am impressed by what you can do and how much of the hot – like my brother can eat all that and not be bothered by it. I think about it, and I get sick to my stomach.
I think there's a strategy to it, Joe.
How?
You drink a glass of cold milk, and then maybe –
See, and I don't like that.
Maybe then you go after the hot chicken. Some people I know, they'll just eat vanilla ice cream, have a nice cold base in their stomach, and then eat the hot chicken. It's almost like you got to go with a cold dairy coating, and then you go after the hot
chicken. That's a lot of work to prepare. I mean, it's like I want to eat crawfish, because crawfish, that's a lot of work for very little return.
But the flavor that comes with it, it's unbelievable.
You have to break 400 of them, and you hopefully 100 of them go, and then out of the 100 of those, maybe 20.
Like the corn that comes with it, though, right?
5180 says, Doritos are overrated. Chili cheese Fritos are the most underrated chip. Lay's are the chip of champions, and Ruffles are the Jared Stillman of chips.
Fantastic. Right, it's perfect.
Spicy nacho Doritos with pepperonis are solid. That from 5573.
Where do you get that? Europe?
I guess.
I've never seen that before.
And then pepperoni? Dwight's responding to something that Robbie and Rexford did, so I guess he's on the I don't know if Dwight's doing this, but there are people that will listen to the podcast and then they'll text in and it's like it's not live.
Right.
Like Rex Road's not just sitting here checking the text line waiting for you.
To come back on there, yeah.
I mean, maybe he is. He didn't have much of a life, so maybe.
So as we leave this discussion, here for John McClain, Ruffles is the worst. Dr. Crane, you say what's the worst?
I'd say the flatline Lay's.
Okay, and then Chaser, we know.
Look, I've pissed people off, and I don't care. I hate Sun Chips, okay. And Doritos are overrated. I've said what I said.
Hate's a strong word for just a simple chip.
Dislike
for a simple chip.
Strong dislike.
Who's done nothing to you?
Actually, okay. That's not true. I think this is one of those things that, as a kid, I ate too much of them and got sick, and said, no, I don't like it.
You
right.
Think John McClain has a preference?
I don't know. We'll ask him. We'll talk to John from Houston coming up next. Here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, as we do every Wednesday at 9:30. We say hello to our pal John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Just we've kind of entered those days almost into June, and, you know, OTAs going on and all of that. But, you know, kind of getting that itch, ready for football. But we got a few more months for sure. But looking at, you know, different things that came out of the league meetings last week, of course, you know, it being in Nashville, Roger Goodell had to be asked about a certain event coming to America's Music City. And, of course, he said with the new stadium that he'd love to see a Super Bowl in Nashville. I think with them building the stadium, John, we know it's going to happen. It's more of a win than it is an if. But do you think the NFL would want to try and get that Super Bowl here sooner rather than later?
I don't know. I'm guessing that the way it works is you get a new stadium – and you've got tax dollars involved, you get a Super Bowl. Nashville will definitely get a Super Bowl. And the key is you've got to play in the stadium at least one season, preferably two, because you got to make sure everything works. Can't do it after the first season. So I would. What year is the stadium supposed to open?
2027.
So you wouldn't get it in 27. I'm not sure how far they've moved ahead naming sites, but I would say the earliest would be would be either in 28 or after the 28th season. After the 27th season or after 28, and I'm guessing it would be two. And because of stadium capacity, it used to be you had to have 70,000 seats, and and auxiliary media takes out about 2,000 of them. Now that's not a prerequisite anymore because they charge so much money. And I've always wondered, what is the point where that you would have to cut off the pricing where people weren't going to buy the tickets? There are some you have like $4,500 a ticket if they want on the 50. There's others you can get for like $800. By the time you guys get a Super Bowl there, no telling what those tickets are going to be. And I often wondered, what if you charged $5,000 for every single ticket? Would every single ticket be sold? Would just corporations buy them and give them away? I remember a Super Bowl in San Francisco when we got to our hotel, the Hyatt, at the bottom of Nob Hill. Media people came running up to others saying, you guys are not going to believe this. There's a place in here, an office, where you can sell your Super Bowl tickets and you can make $100. So a bunch of guys that had bought tickets from the league or from their team sold their $75 tickets for $100 profit. That's pretty good. And I think back now to the price of those tickets and how ridiculous it was. And I can imagine how much money the NFL is bringing in for a Super Bowl. And but he'll get one. I can't imagine what they're going to charge in the hotels since the Nashville area is so small. And you may be bringing in ships on the Cumberland like they did in Jacksonville. And a lot of people stayed that week on the ships. But it'll be a great event. Nashville knows how to host a party. That's been proved many times, and I can't wait to see it happen.
NFL.com, you know, we're in bold prediction season and list season. They did their bold predictions for this year, and one that they had on there was Derrick Henry goes for 1,600 rushing yards with the Ravens. And that got my attention because I know there's a reason that they brought him in, and I felt, and a lot of people felt, that, you know, that was going to be a very, very good signing for Baltimore. And for Lamar, but 1,600 yards for me at this point in Derek's career with that offense that centers around Lamar Jackson, I think that is a pretty bold prediction.
Yeah, I would if I was taking over under and lead, I'd bet a lot of money on the under. Not that Henry couldn't do it, but they've had changes in their offensive line, even though they always have a good offensive line. They think run first. But Jackson's going to rush for 700 or 800 yards himself. And then they still got Justice Hill. And so think about this. John Harbaugh never has one back carry the load. He likes to use multiple backs. Now, he'll have one who's definitely the starter, like Derrick Henry will be, but he's not going to be a workhorse because they don't want him just for 1 year. You know, they want him for probably two. If they could get three, that'd be great. So John Harbaugh is not going to run him into the ground. So I think that's not just a bold prediction. I think it's a ridiculous prediction.
We're talking to the great John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, John, I see Nico Collins got – he got paid, you know, 3 years, almost $73 million extension, $52 million guaranteed. Two-part question here. A, your thoughts on that, and was it warranted? And second on that, I always go back because, you know, I love talking about the history of the league to those Oiler teams with the run and shoot and the great receivers of Haywood Jeffries and Ernest Givens and Drew Hill and Curtis Duncan, how if today's game, those four would have never played together because no team could afford those. So let's start with the Nico question first. Was this warranted and was this a good thing for the Texans?
Absolutely. And I'm writing a column for HoustonTexans.com right now about how, and here's a reason that the Titans should not give up on Treylon Burks, including the fans and the media. Nico Collins was a third-round pick. Nick Caserio traded back into the third round to get him. 6'4", 215 when he came in. He's 6'4", 222 now. His first couple of seasons, we saw him flash like in camp or practice every once in a while in a game. But he had these nagging injuries that kept him from being a regular starter. But he was, you know, you got to see enough of him to think, man, if he could just stay healthy. And Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor were throwing him the ball. So last year with C.J. Stroud and Collins missed two games with injuries, he had 80 catches for almost 1,300 yards, averaged 16.2, 8 touchdowns. He was number 2 in the league with catches of at least 25 yards. And a lot of those were he caught balls on slant routes and he broke tackles. He's really good at going full speed over the middle, catching the ball quick, and then breaking tackles. We saw him do it time and again. In the column I'm writing now, and this is true for almost every team in the league, that if you work your tail off and you produce on the field and you're good for the culture and you're a good teammate, you're going to get paid. If not by the Texans, then somebody else, like Sheldon Rankins, came in here last year on a one-year, $9 million deal, defensive tackle, played really well. They offered him a $2 million raise. Cincinnati offered him a $4 million, and he went to Cincinnati. So the idea is if you don't get paid by your team and you do all these things, you're going to get paid by somebody else, assuming you're not in your 30s. So they didn't want Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs' contracts to expire at the same time. And they redid Diggs, of course, after they got him to make it a one-year deal because they knew if he's on a one-year deal, you're going to get the best out of Diggs on and off the field. And they don't need Diggs to catch the ball all the time like the Bills did because they got Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz and tight end. So I thought, it's a great deal for Collins, about $24 million a year. He wasn't trying to break the bank, get $30 million a year like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson. And that message it sends to the other players who are looking to get paid as well.
How did they keep, with going back to the Oilers, the running shooks, you know, I love that football team. How did they keep those four receivers around for so long? Because I'm thinking today, man, they'd all be wanting this money, this and that, and they would leave. But they were a nice core for several years.
Yeah, they were. They didn't have any choice. There was no free agency. So you're stuck. You could hold out. And because they were all so balanced, none of them was like a Stephon Diggs was at Buffalo. And they had a couple of good guys on the bench. When Drew Hill was done, they had Webster Slaughter they brought in from Cleveland. He'd been very productive for the Browns. And so other than maybe a couple of holdouts, they didn't have a lot of issues with them. They get a lot of bonuses. there was what was called likely to be earned incentives and not likely to be earned incentives. So if you caught, say, 50 passes 1 year, they could give you a not likely to be earned incentive for 51. And if you caught 51, you got the bonus. And it was structured differently than that would fit better on the salary cap. So they made those really easy. Like if you had three touchdowns, they would give you four. So that's how they kept their run and shoot offense together. Yeah. Not to mention they had Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews, Hall of Fame offensive linemen, and they made a lot of money at the time for their positions as well.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know, you again, I'm not on social media, but you can feel heat. You know what I mean? You can feel heat. And I knew what it was, but I also knew that it was, you know, unfortunate that it happened. And again, listen, Mike will be coaching in no time. You know, he'll be back on the sideline in no time. And he's going to do well wherever he goes because that's just in his DNA and who he is. But, you know, I knew after that happened, it was no time to sit back and soak and, you know, lick your wounds. It was like, we have to deliver the next guy.
That was Titans general manager Rand Carthon on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Back here chasing Big Joe, talking to John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. And I don't know if you've seen the interview at all, but Rand Carthon was on with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton on their podcast and a very, very good interview. They've now had Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon 2 weeks in a row. But the more I hear Carthon kind of talk about, you know, the end of the Vrabel era, and he says nice things about Vrabel and then moving into Callahan, it does feel like this was truly an Amy Adams strunk move, which is fine. But does that put Rand Carthon more behind the eight ball, John, that, you know, people are going to think, well, he doesn't truly have the power and therefore make his job harder?
Absolutely not. Amy never makes a decision like that without input from her people. Of course, Carthon wanted his own head coach. When you're in a position to become a general manager, no matter where you are as a personnel director, and your dream is to be a general manager, you have guys that you want to be your head coach, or you want to seriously consider for your head coach. It's just like quarterback. If Will Levis doesn't show that he can be a franchise quarterback, you have a GM and a new head coach, and Brian Callahan's going to want his quarterback. So, Vrabel ends up, he goes to Cleveland. I assume he'll be a head coach next year. I'm stunned. Everybody just assumes that he couldn't get a head coaching job in the offseason, but we don't know if there was somebody that made him an offer that he turned down. And they've turned it around. They got everything they wanted. Rand's got everything the way he wanted. He had a lot of salary cap money. He used it well, especially putting good talent around Levis. You know, Levis, if you think about quarterbacks in the NFL who have changed to try to help them, well, I can't imagine there's any that have gotten more help than Will Levis. I can't wait to see him play. Rand's in charge of everything now. He's in charge of the coaches. He is all powerful. There's some pressure on him because he hired his guy. He may like Brian Callahan. She's kind of up on it. She didn't make him hire coaches or fire coaches. That's not what she's about.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston this morning. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work.
All right, John, let's look to the future a little bit. Who's the next guy that's going to break the bank? Is it Prescott next year? I mean, it's the one guy. And look, a couple years down the road, the one person that is going to break that bank as we go forward.
Well, first of all, they're making noise about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has not done enough. He's not become the generational quarterback that the Jaguars have predicted. And he's thrown too many interceptions. They've won one playoff game, but they're going to extend him because the longer you wait, the more it costs. Cowboys done a terrible job with Dak Prescott's contract going back to his first one when everybody told him, don't wait, don't wait. And the sooner you get it done, the cheaper it is. And I think Prescott is going to re-sign with the Cowboys. I think they'll get it done before the season. I don't think they're going to work on it during the season. It's going to be a serious distraction, like CeeDee Lamb, serious distraction. Micah Parsons, serious distraction. And the Cowboys have distractions just by being the Cowboys, who they are. It's always seemed to be in some kind of controversy. It just blows me away. Every time I talk to somebody in the media, in the Metroplex up there, they're still using the all in. You know, Jerry said, we're all in. They didn't do anything. Everybody says the Texans are all in. They've done so much in free agency and in trades. And I saw something this week. The team most likely to not do what the owner says are the Cowboys, because the owner said they're all in and then they didn't do anything. Well, no, that's not. If Jerry told them to do it, they would do it. But I think Dak Prescott is going to get the biggest contract. And then, you know, it's all about the guaranteed money, but he can leave. He can go anywhere he wants. There's no compensation for him. They put themselves in that position, and they're going to have to acquiesce. And so I don't see them starting over with another quarterback with Jerry Jones being in his early 80s.
Absolutely. John, let me ask you this, and you've covered the league such a long time. I'm not happy with a lot of things the NFL does, but the fact they've embraced this mental health, like if you need to step away from the game, it's okay, we'll help you, we'll get you all the help you need. It's funny because I got to think, John, 25, 30 years ago, that would have not been the case. Guys would not have come forward, would they?
That wouldn't be the case 5 years ago.
Right.
So the NFL took a different stance on it. You might get off a game or two if you had issues, but most of the time they told you to deal with it and sent you somebody to talk to. So, yeah, there's so many things that are different today. And you see different players stepping away. Stetson Bennett, you know, Calvin Ridley. And there's others that do it. And I think it's great that the NFL's helping bring awareness to it.
He is John McClain from Houston, HoustonTexans.com. John, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Absolutely. John joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Coming up next, we got some special guests in studio, JoJo, and I'm really looking forward to this. The PBR, they have another great event coming to our city. We'll tell you more about that coming up next with a couple of writers that are going to join us in studio. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.